And good morning. Welcome to service today. So delighted to have you in the house of the Lord. Looking forward to a great blessing this morning and a wonderful time. I don't know about you, but I'm so glad that Jesus loves even me. I've learned of this in the book he has given. For wonderful things in the Bible I see, but this is the dearest, that Jesus loves even me. What a way to open a worship service. Stand if you would. Lift your voice. Sing the wonderful truth of God's great love.
I am so glad that our Father in heaven tells of His love in the book He has given. Wonderful things in the Bible I see. This is the dearest, that Jesus loves me. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves even me. Though I forget Him and wander away, still He doth love me wherever I stray. Back to His dear loving arms would I flee, when I remember that Jesus loves me. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves even me. Oh, if there's only one song I can sing, when in His beauty I see the great King, this shall my song in eternity be. Oh, what a wonder that Jesus loves me. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves even me.
Good morning. If you're glad that Jesus loves you, say amen. Amen. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for today. We thank you for Sunday, the first day of the week, that we can come worship you in the house of God. Fathers, thank you for everyone that's here today. I thank you for bringing them here safely. Father, I pray you protect the ones that are still on their way. Father, I thank you for the guests that you're bringing us today. We love to have them here. Father, we know that we open our hearts and invite you in our hearts that we can be saved. Someone here today might not have ever received you as their Savior. They might be saying, I can't change. They don't change. Jesus changes you. If you're willing to open your heart and your mind and accept Him as your Savior, you'll hear the pricking of the Holy Spirit. He'll dwell you immediately. Allow Him to run your life and control your life and follow Him each and every day. Father, I ask you to be with Pastor Hunter as he brings us the book of John again. It's a marvelous book in the Bible. Lord, we love hearing your word that you bring through Pastor Hunter each week. Lord, I just ask you to calm us and open our hearts now as we hear Pastor Hunter. Lord, I ask you to be with us as we turn around and wave to each other now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Turn around and wave to your neighbor.
As you come back, remain standing. I love this little chorus. It expresses our life that we have in the Lord, our strength, our hope, all that we do. We'll praise Him with all of our life. Lift your voice now and let us just rejoice in the life we have in Jesus.
My life is in you, Lord. My strength is in you, Lord. My hope is in you, Lord, in you, is in you. My life is in you, Lord, my strength is in you, Lord, my hope is in you, Lord, in you, is in you. I will praise you with all of my life. I will praise you with all of my strength. With all of my life, with all of my strength, all of my my hope is in you. My life is in you, Lord, my strength is in you, Lord, my hope is in you, Lord, in you, is in you. My life is in you, Lord, my strength is in you, Lord, my hope is in you, Lord, in you, is in you, in you.
Amen. You may be seated. I hope and pray that you know and reckon the life that the Lord Jesus is in you, his hope, the strength that he is, and I trust that that brings about a desire to praise him with all of your life. Welcome today to Plantation Baptist Church. So delighted to have our church family with us, friends and guests and neighbors, and had a wonderful service already at 8:30, and we're thankful for those of you that are joining us online. And whether you are here locally or in the state, in the nation, and around the world, we hope and pray that you will check in. Let us know where you're watching from. And church family, especially for you to check in so that we know you're okay and excited about being able to contact you today. I also would ask you, if you want to, share the service. And our sign at the beginning says, be a digital missionary. And that's a great opportunity for you to do that as well. For those of you that are visiting with us in the service today, in the pew in front of you is a connection card. I would really appreciate it if you'd take a moment, grab that card, and use the ink pen that's there. Fill it out, put it in your offering plate when it goes by. That'll give us a record of your attendance today. We have sprayed them down with rat poison, so they are safe, and it killed everything on there. You will be fine. Don't lick your fingers when you're done, but it is opportunity, and you feel free to do that. If not, stop by the welcome desk and let us greet you on the way out. Boy, do I have a lot to announce today. I won't take too much time because you've seen a lot on the slides that have been rolling. You know that over the next few days we have Awana opening up, we have a baby shower, we have a youth activity. If you're going to put your kid in the Awana program, then we would love to have that beginning on September 9th. You can go ahead and sign up online now. There's a table in the lobby. Stop by after the service. It's a wonderful, wonderful Bible memory program, gospel reaching program for the boys and girls to receive the Lord at an early age possible. And we do need volunteers. And so if you would be willing to serve in that ministry, I trust that you would let us know accordingly. Normally, September's our missions month. And missions is loved here. It's the heartbeat of our church. We support missionaries all over the world. I think about 85, maybe 86 missionaries that are all over the world. Every month we send money to and prayers to and help to as they're planting churches and witnessing Christ and reaching people outside of the nation for the Lord Jesus. Normally, we use the whole month of September to do that, but we're scaling it down to one Sunday to focus on missions this time. Dr. Stringer will be coming with us, marvelous preacher. You will enjoy him. He's a brilliant man. He's a humorist, but he also loves the Word of God and can preach on the subject of missions. And so on September 13th, he will preach at 8:30 and at 10:30, and there'll be two different messages. I trust that you'll make yourself available to those, and as we search our hearts for what God would have us to do. We are really excited about our anniversary Sunday, the last Sunday of the month. Our church will celebrate 58 years of being chartered as a local New Testament Bible-believing church here in Broward County. We're actually a couple of years older than that, but the solid start was when we were chartered. We've been on this property since 1978. I was 5 years old, so I was not on this property back then, but the church has been here since then. So it's a big day. It's always a big day for us. Used to, we had lunches and all kinds of things. This time we'll forego that, but here's what we're going to do. On anniversary Sunday, we will do communion, which means we will go to the table of the Lord together, right? And we will do that in our 8:30 service. We will do that in our 10:30 service. We will also have a baptismal service prior to that. So if you were supposed to be baptized, but COVID came and that got messed up, on the last Sunday of September, we are going to do our baptism, and then we'll have the Lord's Supper. That will also be the day that we will open up our children's ministries at 8:30. And we've not been doing that at 8:30. We moved it to 10:30, but now we believe that we'll be able to open back up at 8:30 with our nurseries and with our junior churches and so on. So that will be the day that we will do that as well. We will have on that morning a distance room. So some folks are still very, very susceptible to not just COVID-19, but to any type of illness or flu or something with crowds. So we're going to set up a room that will either, I'm not exactly sure where it is, so I don't want to point. But I promise you it will be easily accessible. It will be a mask-only room the entire time. So you'll wear a mask the whole time if you're in there, except to take of the elements. And it will be distant and it will be protected. If you need that room to come to church, it will be available on that Sunday. And so I'm asking you to call and reserve a spot. We will open the room as long as we have more than two people. The Bible said where two or three are gathered together in His name, He'd be in the midst. So we're going to go with Jesus' formula. It's a pretty good one, right? So, Pastor, what if I'm the only one? I don't know. Take it up with the Lord and get back to me. But we'll have that room. You must reserve. I'm not going to go through all that if nobody's going to use it. But if you want to use it, reserve your spot, pay your $2,000, and your seat will be acceptable right there. Hey, as you drove in, you saw the parking lot's looking flatter, right? Wonderful. As you leave, look at it. Let me tell you a little bit about what God's doing in our building program, so you can understand where Pastor believes God wants us to go. We're being asked like crazy about Christmas, right? Are we doing the Christmas lights and all of that? The answer to that is yes. We are desiring, moving toward setting up and having the Christmas lights. We were locked down for His resurrection. I think we should celebrate His birth. And so it will look a little different. Not the lights. The lights will be in full. We'll have the kids part and all of that. We may not sell all the hamburgers and hot dogs and do all of that, but we'll have the lights, maybe the hot chocolate, and let the people come that want to come and find a way somehow to navigate that. But I appreciate what Brother Joey told me. He said, we need Christmas. And so I think the whole world needs Christmas, and we need it here at Plantation Baptist. In order to do that, we have to have a place to park people, because you might be new to us, but we, and you're listening online, when we turn the lights on, from the day we turn the lights on to the day we turn them off, we usually run 50 to 55,000 people through our lights. Wow, that's a lot of people. 50 to 55,000 people come on the property to see the lights. Pastor, how are you going to do that with COVID? We'll cross that bridge when we get there. Not only do people come see the lights, the Christmas lights, but they're also introduced to the light of the world. His name is Jesus, right? And man, there's people seated right here in our church and listening online. They've been saved and they were first brought to the Savior through the Christmas lights. Having said all that, you see that beautiful picture that's out on the screen, and you probably can see it online as well. To get to that point right there where we're signed, sealed, and everything off of from the city, and we got permission to use all of that, we're probably about $400,000 away. Don't panic. I'm not asking you to give the whole thing. But I am asking you to pray that God will give us the whole thing. Amen? So we're moving forward here, and I'm telling the Lord, if we're moving forward here, you got to help us over here. It is our intention the week of Labor Day, after Labor Day, to begin to pour the concrete out there. We're moving forward along those lines, and you should see things developing there. What I'm asking the church family to do is pray in faith, believing, trusting, give as God enables you to give. But in order to have all that come together, we need the Lord to organize what He is doing. And so please, please be in prayer for the Lord to meet our need there. $400,000 is a lot of money to us, but it ain't nothing to God, right? He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills and the wealth in every mine, and he can provide that. Wouldn't you like to be the one that God provided $400,000 through? If I win the lotto, Pastor, I'll tell you, we could have built an empire here with everybody that promised me they could win the lotto, they would give money. None of them are winning, and so we won't do it that way. Kind of cool. Just think about this. A lady came the other day and gave a diamond ring, gold diamond ring. She said, Pastor, I don't, this thing just laying in my drawer, whatever. I want to give it to the building fund. Okay, cool, kind of pretty. I didn't know what I had. Did you know gold is up right now, right? And silver's up right now. So I did the first thing any normal pastor did. I ran to the jeweler. I said, how much? He gave me a number for that. Holy mackerel, that's not in the Bible, but good night. We cashed that sucker in, brought all that money back, and put it in the building fund. Why are you telling us, Pastor? Because we have a little box here called Lost and Found. I promise you the little box is about this big, and it was about this deep. So I said to Carol, give me that little box. I dropped that little box down on that jeweler's desk, and he picked up something, and fake. A lot of you women wear fake jewelry. I hope you know that. Fake, good, fake, good. He picked up a pair of earrings. He said, this part's fake, but this part's gold. You want me to cut the gold? Absolutely. So he picks up his little snips, and he snips off the little post, and he built himself a little pile of gold right there. He took it back on the scale and brought some greenback cash. I grabbed that cash, came right back, and put it in the building fund. Why are you telling me this? Because you probably got gold laying around. Earrings you never wear. Rings that an ex-boyfriend gave you that you no longer like. You might want to think about the building fund. I thought about having a gold offering or a silver offering. Don't steal any gold to do that. But, man, God can do anything, can he? And so let's just see what God does. Join me with it, and we'll trust the Lord. But this is our direction going forward, and I'm excited to see what the Lord is going to do. All right, I chose the next song very carefully. It exalts the Lord Jesus in his beauty. It exalts him as ruler of all, the Son of God, the Son of Man. It brings to him a fairness in our mind. He is the fairest Lord Jesus. And then we link to that how precious he is. Silver, gold, and diamonds. Nothing of that would I ever desire that could compare with the Lord. Stand if you would. Let this song prepare your heart for the preaching of the Word of God.
Fairest Lord Jesus, ruler of all nature, Lord, you are. diamonds, and nothing I desire compares with you.
Amen. Be seated, if you would, for our prayers of the people prior to our offering. And while we're getting ready for our prayers of the people, two of our precious ladies need prayer today. Velma Jagai has asked prayer for her family down in Jamaica. They suffered the loss of two of their family members this week, a very precious aunt and a cousin. Because of the COVID-19, she's not able to travel. And so pray, if you would, for Velma. She was in our 8:30 service. Karen Fuller as well. Her best friend passed this week, unexpectedly, the Simpson family. And Karen was just in shock and just grieving this morning, and pray that God will use both of these ladies as a testimony and a light for the gospel during these very, very difficult times. All right, pray with me, please, and you're going to enjoy an offertory special that just makes the Lord even that much more precious to you as you realize what he sees and knows in your life. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father God, music has such joy and truth and power and blessing to it. In reality, if we were to go home and turn on the finance channel, we would find that silver's up, gold is up, diamonds are up. You watch television and the commercial, they want you to invest now, buy now. They say things like it's going to reach an all-time high. And the commercial has such a confidence that you can't go wrong. Of course, we know that in man's economy, there's much wrong. But when you think about that, silver, gold, and diamonds, and you think about how man values those precious metals, probably nothing is more valued on the earth than silver, gold, and diamonds. Nothing wrong with that. But when you think about the Lord Jesus, you think about salvation, you think about eternity, you will realize that if you lumped all the gold and all the silver and all the diamonds in the world, none of that would bring to value the salvation of Jesus Christ. Nothing in our lives would ever desire or compare to that. And so, Heavenly Father, thank you for being who you are. The Bible said if a man gained the whole world and lose his own soul, what would it profit that man? And so thank you for the salvation that you are to us, Lord Jesus. I pray that you are our desire today, our concentration today, our love today, our focus today. And I pray that we open up our hearts and our minds to hear what thus saith the Lord through the preaching of the Word of God. Lord, the offertory song will just remind us that you see us. You hear us, you know the difficulty, you know the trial, you know the pains, you know things that we go through, and you're so faithful to be there, to carry us, and to lift us, and to encourage us. And so prepare our hearts. Holy Spirit of God, help me preach today. Lord Jesus, would you bless Velma, would you bless Karen? They've suffered great loss this week. You're the God of all comfort, so comfort their hearts and their minds, and just minister to them now. Help them to be a light for the gospel of Jesus during these moments of death in their family. Lord, I look out and I see so many guests with us today. I'm so grateful to have them. Some are acquaintances and friends and family, and others are just here and you brought them here. And so I thank you for that. Speak to their hearts today. Lord, may they know your presence just as the people do. And we'll trust you for that. Have your way now. Thank you for being our great God and our great Savior. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. God bless you as you give. If you're our guest, if you'd put that card in the plate, listen to this wonderful offertory.
When you're shattered by grief, can't find a reason to sing, in your heart of days, when you're fighting for faith, you are not alone here. You are not alone here. He is near to the brokenhearted, closer still than the air you breathe. Every tear falling
Bibles, make your way, if you would, to the sixth chapter of the book of John. What a powerful and wonderful song and great truth to know that Jesus sees, he's there, he's close to the brokenhearted. I trust that you remember that and apply that throughout the day and throughout this upcoming week and use that as just a wonderful blessing in your life. Okay, because I love you, and I know you walk with the Lord. Go ahead.
I'll be quick.
Okay.
I know you're
supposed
to be standing,
mm-hmm.
But I have such great things to share.
Okay, Brenda.
Good things that are happening in my life due to the because of the pandemic, and that is, and I've shared with a few of you, a prayer group at work.
Yeah. Okay.
Small group,
Wow. Right. Yeah. You had to give God glory about that, right? Well, I think we can say a big amen to that. Thank you, Brenda. Wonderful. I know you love the Lord and walk with the Lord. And Brenda prays for the people in our church. She constantly emails me about who can I pray with. And so, you know, sometimes you're just so full, you got to say a good word, right? All right. I trust that will be the way the message is received. This will be, Lord willing, the final message in John chapter 6 that I will preach to you in our series. Many of you have been with me and with our church as we've made our way through this chapter. It's taken a long time to get through this chapter, and it's only fitting. It's the longest chapter in the book of John, and it's a precious and powerful chapter as we've been listening to the Lord. For those of you that are visiting, we have a series entitled That You Might Have Life as we're making our way through the Gospel of John. The Gospel of John was written to exalt the Lord Jesus as the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of God. John has written this book that you might see and that you might believe that truth. 98 times in the Gospel of John is the word believe used. And it's fitting that it's used that much because there's enough evidence in there to bring a man or a woman to a place where we do believe in and on the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we've just begun, and yet it feels like we've already tasted of the deep waters. And I agree with Brother Joey, what a delight that it is. I dissected John chapter 6 into three major points. I told you that it begins with a pair of signs or miracles. These were miracles that Jesus did that the Spirit of God recorded in the Gospel of John with the purpose to prove his divinity. These miracles gave the Lord Jesus an opportunity then to give a discourse. So point number two was a powerful discourse. A discourse was a teaching, a lecture, a truth. This discourse that we find in John chapter 6, Jesus is presenting himself to the nation of Israel as their Messiah, as their Redeemer, as their Savior. He presents himself in a way that's very understandable for them. He presents himself as the bread of life. If you are a Bible student, you know that when Jesus came to the earth, he initially brought salvation to the Jews. Salvation was to the Jew first. He had promised through the Jewish folks that Jesus would come, and Jesus came to present himself as their king and as their Messiah. Now, you know that some of the nations, some individuals received him as the Messiah, but the majority of the nation did not believe. The majority of the nation lined up behind the religious rulers. And really and truthfully, it came down to a point where Jesus presented himself to the nation and they had to make a choice whether they were going to receive him or not. You know that they rejected the Lord Jesus and they ended up receiving Caesar as their king. They crucified Jesus and pledged allegiance unto Caesar. Praise God that the Lord Jesus was presented to the Jew first, but then the Bible says he was also presented through their denial to the Gentile. Now, if you're not a Jew, then you are a Gentile. And if you are a Gentile, salvation was not offered to you first. It came to the Jewish people first. Then it came in and through them to us. If you're glad Jesus saves Gentiles, would you say amen? Right? Now, we know that God loves the Jewish people. God has made promises to the Jewish people. God will keep those promises to the Jewish people. But the Jewish people have a history of denying the Lord Jesus as the Messiah. And many of them are still strong in that denial today. John is writing here to prove that Jesus was the Messiah, he is the Messiah, and he is the Son of God. The third point of this chapter was there was a powerful sign, a pair of signs, a powerful discourse, and a personal choice. And that brings us to our message title today. And I'm preaching to you a message that is entitled today, What Are You Going to Do? What do you want to do? I take it from verse number 67, if you would look at that in the text, please. John chapter 6, verse 67. Then said Jesus unto the 12. Now, if you have a red letter Bible, you know the next phrase, the words are in red print. As you look at the page, you'll see a whole bunch of red print. Anytime you see red print in Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, or the book of Acts, or in even the book of Revelation, this is where the Lord Jesus is speaking and being quoted. These are his words. Jesus asked the 12, will ye also go away? When you study that question, you find that the really and truthfully, that question is, what do you wish to do? In essence, Jesus says to them, what do you want to do? I submit to you that this question asked 2,000 years ago is still a question that Jesus is asking the peoples of the earth today. And I would submit to you that Jesus is asking everybody that's in this room, everybody that's within the sound of my voice through the airwaves, what do you want to do? Jesus will always reduce belief down to your choice. Now, I know people vehemently disagree with this. People want to believe that in some way they teach that man has no choice in salvation. But when it comes to believing upon the Lord Jesus, God does not go against your will. God does not save you against your will. He does not save you in spite of your will. God may put you in circumstances that you do not wish, even sometimes circumstances that you would rather not be in. But when it comes to believing upon him, he's never going to usurp your personal choice. Is God sovereign? Yes. Is salvation wholly of God? Yes. Does God draw men and women to the Son? Yes. Does God initiate that? Yes. But the whole part about God drawing you to the Son is so that you would believe yourself upon the Son. So God puts us into a position and allows, even in his sovereignty, knowing what we're going to do, he enables us freely to exercise our own personal choice. What do you want to do? It's interesting. When you study this question that Jesus asked these 12, a little bit of background, look at verse number 60. Jesus has just finished his powerful discourse in presenting himself as the bread of life. And in verse number 60, it says, many therefore of his disciples, when they had heard this, said, this is a hard saying. Who can hear it? Now that phrase, this is a hard saying, does not mean that the saying was confusing or that it was not easily understood in your mind or your brain. The word hard there is repulsive, offensive. The question, who can hear it, it says, I don't have to listen to this garbage. Nobody could be expected to listen to this. We're out of here. It's interesting that that response comes at the end of this powerful discourse. Let me just for take a minute or two to explain to you what that discourse was. Jesus, in presenting himself as the Savior of not just the Jewish people but the whole world, and presenting himself as Messiah, did it in a very practical and understanding way. He simply presented himself as bread, not physical bread, but spiritual bread. And at the beginning of this discourse, he performed two miracles. One, he walked on the water. The other one was the feeding of the 5,000. And you remember what the feeding of the 5,000 is, whether you're a Christian or not. You know this. Where he had those five loaves and those two small fishes. And he broke those five loaves and those two small fishes, and he fed 5,000 men. Of course, there were women there, and there were children there. And the disciples were part of that. The whole book of John, designed to get you to believe that Jesus is who he says he is, and to believe that he is God, John, by the power of the Holy Spirit of God, penned specific miracles or signs that Jesus did. The other gospel writers, they did different ones. John did these ones. And so one that John penned was the feeding of the 5,000. When Jesus was done with the feeding of the 5,000, the people were amazed. They were excited. They were ready to go, and they were ready to follow the Lord. The problem was they were not totally honest. Even Jesus himself said that they had such a concentration on the physical part of the meeting of the feeding of the 5,000 that they missed out on the spiritual part. And so they began to follow the Lord Jesus, but Jesus says, you're not following me because you want me as your savior. You're following me so what you can get from me. I find this. A lot of people, become religious. They go to church, they make some spiritual decisions, some type of spiritual life improvement, they call upon God, and it's not where they want to submit themselves to the authority of Jesus and confess themselves a sinner and believe upon him and be made new. They want something from him. And what they want is not something spiritual, they want something physical. They want a promotion, they want a relationship, they want to get out of trouble, they want to get out of jail, they want to get something that they want from God, which is a sincere desire, but it's not an honest intent in which they follow him. So they were hungry that day, and Jesus fed them. Now they're following Jesus so they can receive from him physically. And Jesus says, now wait a minute, fellas. You don't understand. You're laboring after physical, but I didn't come just for your physical need. I came for your spiritual need. Well, what do you mean our spiritual need? Okay. You had a physical hunger and a thirst that day, and I fed you bread, physical bread for your physical body. But you as a human, you also have a spiritual life, a spiritual hunger, and a spiritual thirst. And really and truthfully, hunger and thirst become part of our lives when we lack. For example, if you do not eat, you will be hungry. If you do not have moisture in your body, you become, so you lack those things. Spiritually, I lack righteousness. I lack peace. I lack life. And so as natural bread feeds the physical body, Jesus says there is a spiritual or a supernatural bread that must feed the spirit part of us. You're concentrating on the physical, but you're not understanding the spiritual. You're not understanding that the way the physical body needs food to live, the spirit needs the bread of life to live eternally. Amen. And Jesus, and really what he was doing was he was pointing to them that you're not able to have spiritual life unless you come to me. This got offensive to them. What do you mean come to you? Who do you think you are? Well, Jesus would say, I'm the one the Father sent. They would say, you're out of your stinking mind. We know who your Father is. He's Joseph, the son of that, you're the son of that carpenter. By the way, Joseph was not Jesus' father. His father is holy God. Jesus would say, no, the Father has sent you the true bread. so that you can receive me and have eternal life. Who do you think you are? We're not with you and your father. We're of the father Abraham. Abraham is our father. Don't you talk to us. By the way, they thought that they would get to heaven because of who their earthly dad was or some type of natural lineage that they had, or because they were Americans, to put it in our vernacular. Nobody gets to heaven because of who your dad is, who your church attendance is, what part of church you're a member of. If you're going to get to heaven, you're going to get there through your personal trust in Jesus Christ. But they anchored themselves in Abraham, right? Because they knew if they acknowledged that they needed the bread of life, it would be the acknowledgement that they lack. And they were not about to say, we're sinners who can't save ourselves. We're unrighteous. And we need the bread of life to help to bring about life. And so Jesus says on that, as you need the physical bread for your physical body, you need the spiritual bread. And then he really pointed when he said, and by the way, fellas, I am that bread. And unless you eat my body and drink my blood, you will not have salvation. Oh, that sent them through the roof, man. That sent them through the roof because they would never, never physically ever do that. And by the way, Jesus was not asking them to physically do that. If Jesus was teaching, eat his body and drink his blood, he would not be God. That went against the Bible. Now, I know that I preach to people from all over the world, so listen very carefully. The church doctrine of transubstantiation is just that. It is a church doctrine. It is not a Bible doctrine. So you have people all over the world who the church, from this passage of Scripture, has taught them that if they will come forward and let somebody put a wafer in their mouth and give them a cup to drink, that as they eat the wafer and as they drink the cup, that somehow that magically becomes the body and the blood of Jesus. And in swallowing that, somehow that act and that mystery translates into righteousness. My friends, that is a church doctrine. That is not a Bible doctrine. And if you're trusting transubstantiation for your salvation, you're trusting in the wrong thing. Okay? Well, Pastor, he said eat and drink. Right. What he was telling them is this. How does natural food do the body any good? It must come in your mouth. It must be chewed up. And it must be swallowed into your system. It must be in you. If you can't chew your own food, they'll stick a tube in you and feed you that way. Right? Somehow the body needs the indwellment of food. And Jesus is telling them the same way your physical body needs the food inside of it to profit the body, you need the bread of life in you to profit your spiritual life. What makes a person a Christian? Not just because you call yourself a Christian. Not just because I go to church. Not just because I do good things. The only reason I am a Christian is because God has indwelt me. If he lives inside of you, say amen. How did he get in there? I ate him and I drank him. You're out of your stinking mind. No. The way you eat and drink the Lord Jesus is you believe and you receive him by faith. The way Jesus moves into you and is appropriated into you is not through your mouth into your stomach. It's through your faith and the grace of God believing upon him. Just because a priest shoves a wafer in your mouth does not bring you salvation. Jesus dying on the cross, buried and risen again brings us salvation. People all over the world are trusting that. When Jesus came to that point, they freaked out. And they said, this is a hard saying. The effect of that is found in verse 66. From that time, many of his disciples went what direction? Back. And they walked no more with him. Some things you need to know about this. The word disciple in the Bible is not equivalent with born again Christian. You can be a follower of Jesus and not be saved by Jesus. How many disciples did Jesus 12? Sorry about that. 12 is the answer, by the way. But he had hundreds, right? He had hundreds. Multitudes followed him. So what was a disciple? A disciple was a follower. He was a learner. What they would do back then is you had rabbis. These were learned men, lettered men, scholared men, educated men. And they would have schools, followers. So you as a young Jewish boy, you would associate yourself with a teacher. And you would not only respect the teacher, you would respect his teaching. And you would actually link the teacher with his teaching. And then you would follow him as part of the school. And he would learn you. He would teach you. He would teach you the law. He would teach you the customs. And so when Jesus showed up on the scene, having the ability to walk on water, having the ability to turn the water into wine, having the ability to do these things, and teaching them, they talked about never hearing anybody teach like this. He gathered a following, right? But when Jesus came time to present himself as the true Messiah and present to his followers all that that Old Testament had said about him, all that they needed to do to be able to receive him as Lord and Savior, they recoiled at that, and they turned and they walked away from him. Now, walking away from him is a rejection of him. It's not only a rejection of him, it's a rejection of what he was teaching. I find in the world, our churches are filled with people who've never been to Jesus. For a while, there was this movement that wanted everybody just to be a follower of Jesus. You cannot be a follower of Jesus until you are first saved by Jesus. And just because you are a disciple or a church member doesn't make you a Christian. And so these folks are there and they hear this message and they begin to turn away from the Lord. Now it's interesting, they were murmuring about this and they called it a hard saying in verse number 60. But it wasn't a hard saying in their understanding. Look, if you would, at verse 67, please. Then said Jesus unto the 12, what's that word, class? Will. It wasn't a hard saying in their understanding. It was a hard saying in their will. It wasn't offensive to their brain. They knew what he was talking about. That's why the recoil was so strong. But it was offensive in their will. I find that most people know what God wants in their life. Most people know that God is holy. Most people know that God is Savior. Most people know that he's righteous. He's kind. He's merciful. Most people know that God doesn't want you to do certain things. Most people know God in their understanding. Where they run into a problem is in their will. And where they get ticked off, it's not because they don't understand God. It's because there will always come a point in your life that God's going to say to you, what do you want to do? God does not force you to believe him. That part is your choice. He's not going to usurp your will here. He's going to present himself. You're going to see him. You're going to know what's expected as far as believing upon him. And then God's going to ask you, what do you want to do? When Jesus had asked that question, he asked this question to the 12 very intimately about their will, because if you could just get this scene, he's finished the discourse. Everybody is now electric and murmuring and complaining, and they're leaving Jesus by the multitudes. And Jesus looks straight at him and says, fellas, what do you wish to do? You going to go? You going to stay? Do you think I'm a liar? Do you think I'm the Lord? What do you want to trust? By the way, I often think about that. Look, if you would, at verse number 68. Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of what, class? Eternal life. And we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. What a statement Peter makes there. Lord, where would we go? You have the words of eternal life. By the way, the reason Jesus had the words of eternal life is because Jesus is the word of eternal life. It's interesting. Look, if you would, at verse number 63. Jesus himself says, it is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are what, class? Life. So even the Jew, I can take you to other passages in the scripture where Jesus was teaching the Jews and they would say things like, we never heard a rabbi talk like this. We've never heard wisdom like this. We've never seen a man be able to go back into the Old Testament and bring into the New Testament. We've never seen that type of grasp on the scriptures. And they were astonished at his doctrine up here. But when Jesus asked them about here, we're going to go find somebody else. I think about that. Peter said, we're staying here. They left. I often wonder, where'd they go? Where'd they go? What other rabbi did they go find? What other teaching did they follow? I promise you, any rabbi or any teaching that goes against Jesus is a false rabbi and a false teaching. When Jesus presents himself to you personally as your Lord and Savior, and you don't receive him, where do you go? You go to the church? Let me tell you something. We have a great church, but if you think Plantation Baptist Church can save you, you're going to hell. Where are you going to go? To a priest? You think a man, and I mean this with all due respect, that has his collar backward, a man that puts his pants on the same way I put my pants on, a man who thinks the same way every man in this room thinks, you think a man that is born a sinner, that man has the power to give you absolution? You're going to go hide yourself in a little closet and confess yourself to your sins to sinful man? Where would you go? Oh, no, Pastor, you don't understand. See, he goes, I confess him to him, but he's like a mediator between me and God. No, the Bible says there's only one mediator. His name is Jesus Christ. When I confess myself to him, he's not some sinful man. He's the sinless Son of God. Where do you go? To a bottle, to a drug, to a relationship? Where do you go to find peace, joy, life, purpose, salvation? There's no place else to go but to the Son of God. Peter said, where would we go? Well, anywhere else to go. And by the multitudes, they're moving away from him. Not because they did not understand him. They did not want in their will to come to him. Man. Peter made an announcement here. He said, we believe, verse number 60, and are what, class? Help me. You don't come here not to think. So let me ask you a question. Are you sure that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God? Okay, so you said amen. I will not call you up here, but what if I did? Joey, are you sure that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God? So if I said, Joey, come up here and give me four reasons why you're sure, I'm asking you, in your brain, if you believe, three, four reasons. Why are you sure? How do you know you're right? Peter said, we're sure. Okay, you said you're sure. I'll give you a moment. Who has their reasons? I won't call you up here, chickens. Raise your hand. All right, so let's start with them. The first reason I'm sure that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, is because it says so in the ever-living Word of God. Okay, so my daughters and I had a conversation the other day. This good little conversation. God, help me get this out right. We were talking about how weird it would be to have a man show up and say he's the Son of God. And we see him in flesh and have to believe upon him. You know, you've never seen Jesus in flesh, but we believe. Sometimes you think, would it have been easier to see him in the flesh and believe? Or would it be harder? Is it easier to get saved now as I look at the Word of God? Or if he was walking in my neighborhood, would I look and say, that's God? I was thinking about that because I wanted to get an answer with that. And I would say the answer to that is this. The same reason they could be sure that he is Jesus is the same reason you and I can be sure that Jesus is God. They had the Bible. Don't you remember the wise men that came from the east? They were looking for the what? The star, right? How'd they know about the star? Because the lineage and the timing of the birth of Christ was all given in the Word of God. So they knew the timing. How did they know what he would be? Because the Bible said he would be virgin born. He's the only man to ever be virgin born is Jesus. The Bible began to say things about Jesus. And so as they saw him in the flesh, they had seen him in the Word of God. They read about in the Word of God and manifested in the flesh. I don't see him in the flesh. I see him by faith, but I see him in the Word of God. And because the Bible presents the Lord Jesus as to who he is, then I am sure that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. I'm sure also because he lives in my heart. I know his voice. I know his leadership. I know his tenderness. I know the way he directs. I know how he speaks to me, convicts me. I know what he's done in my life to make my life different. Changed me. Some of you out here were alcoholics. And now you're sober. Some of perverts. And now you know righteousness. Some were thieves. You've been changed. Some were filled with pride. And now we know the humility of God. Some of us were so wayward. And now we know the gentleness of the shepherd's hand in our lives. I'll tell you, I'm sure that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, because of what he did in my life. How about you? Peter said, we're going nowhere because there's nowhere else to go. You're the Son of God. You have the words of life, and we're sure about it. It's interesting what Jesus said in verse number 70, and I'll close with this, and I'll hurry to a close. Peter was always able to speak for the group. You would think that Jesus would have responded a little bit differently, but here's what he said. Jesus answered them, have not I chosen you 12? And one of you is a what? A devil. This he spake of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, for he it was that should betray him, being one of the 12. That's interesting. People are flocking everywhere leaving. Jesus says, what do you fellows want to do? Peter says, we ain't going nowhere. We're staying with you. You're the eternal life. We're sure you're the Christ. And Jesus says this, Peter, I appreciate that. I chose 12 of you. One of you's a devil. Peter didn't know. Only Judas and Jesus knew who the devil was. Why would the chapter end like that? Because I have a whole bunch of people sitting here and a whole bunch of people listening. And I'm going to preach this part joining you. So I'm going to sit right here myself. Do we believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God? If I was to be asked that about Plantation Baptist Church, I would say to the Lord, Lord, we believe. And the Lord would say to me, Tom, you know what you know, but you don't know everybody's heart. Wow. Wow. So who would he be talking about? Churches filled with people. We believe God, Jesus would say, no, I know your heart. Oh, no, 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 we're sure. Yeah, Jesus would say, no, I know your heart. So I'm asking you to your face, what about your heart? What does Jesus know about your heart? Has there been a time when you personally chose to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior? He knows our heart. Christian, he'll ask you the same question. What do you want to do? Maybe you're here today and you're in a big problem, a big mess. And God will say, what do you want to do about it? Maybe you got a big choice to make. God will say, what do you want to do? And God will ask his people always, what do you want to do? The answer better be, we want to do what you want us to do. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father God, powerful discourse that led to a personal choice. And the choice was, are you going to believe or not believe? Peter said, we believe. Not only do we believe, we're sure. This is a decision that every person has to make in their heart. They weren't upset at God in their understanding. They were upset at God in their will. I find that people know what God wants of them. They just don't want to do it. People know that God wants them to be saved. They know Jesus died and was buried and rose again. They know they're a sinner. But are they going to believe on him? To believe on him is to acknowledge that they can't save themselves. It's to acknowledge our sin. What are we going to do about it? Lord, I pray if there's somebody in the sound of my voice today and you're speaking to them about being saved, could they literally hear in their spirit, what do you want to do? You will not thwart their will. You will not save them apart from their will. You'll draw them. You'll call them. But they must believe and they must receive. Where else would we go? Who else is going to save us? Who else is God? Please, Lord. I wonder in the stillness of the moment, and it is a very still moment. I appreciate that with heads bowed and eyes closed. Did God speak to you today? Do you sense God calling you today? Speaking to you today? Drawing you today? About your personal belief upon the Lord Jesus? Your personal reception? Not church attendance. Not religion. To receive him as Lord and Savior by faith. Pastor, I sense God drawing me to Jesus. What does that mean? That means he wants you to acknowledge yourself a sinner, can't save yourself, and just wants you to bring yourself to him by faith and say, Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I can't do anything about it, but you can. And I want you to. I know you died for me. You died for my sin. You were buried. You rose again. And I want to receive you into my heart today. I want you to change me, cleanse me, forgive me. You can ask God to do that right where you sit, believing upon Him. What do you want to do? Christian, God got you in a situation today where it's time to believe Him. And He's asking you, what do you want to do? You want to do it your way? You want to go a different direction? You want to quit? You want to be dishonest? You want to trust me? What do you want to do? I would submit to you, if God's got you there, humble your will. Submit yourself to Him. We always give a time of invitation. If you're here today, Christian, you want to come for prayer, you come for prayer. Maybe you're there in your seat and you'd like to receive the Lord today. You can do that right where you sit, right now. If you desire to be saved, you could pray a simple prayer of faith, asking God to save you. What would I do, Pastor? You would say, dear God, I know I'm a sinner, but I know Jesus is the Savior. And the best I know how, God, I want Jesus to come into my heart today. Lord Jesus, I ask you to come in my heart. Save me. Cleanse me. I believe you're the Son of God, and I want you to wash away all my sin. I trust you as my Lord. I give you my life. And you would say something like, take me to heaven when I die. And you would make that prayer in Jesus' name. And you would say, amen. Pastor, if I ask God to save me, did He save me? He sure did. For whosoever shall come to Him, He'll no wise cast out. I wonder, just for my sake, nobody looking, Pastor seated right here today, as honestly as I could, I opened my heart and I prayed and I asked the Lord Jesus to be my Savior. Don't embarrass me, don't call my name, but here's my hand. Pray for me, Pastor. If you did that, if you just lift your hand, I'd love to see it. Pastor, I received the Lord today. All right. God bless you. Would you stand with me, please? Father, have your way in our invitation now as we think about our personal choice upon the Lord. Move in our hearts and our minds. God, if anyone desires for prayer, may they come and let us pray with them and be a blessing to them. Have your way now, in Jesus' name. Amen. Our song of invitation is softly and tenderly. Jesus is calling. Men are here. Ladies are here ready to pray with you. If you have a need, the altar is open. You come as God leads you. We'll sing a couple verses. Thinking about that day, you know, everybody that was there that day had a chance to come to know the Lord. You might be here, and I just want to defend one thought in your mind. Nobody is so far away from God that God cannot save them. Pastor, you don't know what I've done. I don't care. God knows and He'll forgive you. Pastor, you don't understand how far away I am. No. Pastor, you don't understand how many times I've denied Him. He don't care. He's still there waiting and ready. And He'll save anybody that wants to come to Him. You don't have to get saved in a church house. Anytime you want to, you can bow your head. Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. Save me. You remember that as you leave today. In case the voice of God just continues to prick you throughout the day, wherever you want to be, you can stop and say, I receive you, Lord. That's precious, isn't it? Precious. All right, our song to go home. It makes perfect sense. When the Spirit of God speaks to you, you should say, yes, Lord. Yes, I'll greet you at the back. God bless you. See you Wednesday night.
I'll say yes, Lord, yes, to your will and to your way. I'll say yes, Lord, yes, I will trust you and obey. When your Spirit speaks to me, with my whole heart I'll agree. And my answer will be yes, Lord, yes. God bless you while you are dismissed.